And as we meditate on what we're thankful for when we give God our thank offering this morning, one of the things that we're all very thankful for is that we can be in his dwelling place together. And that is something that we can really delight in. I invite you now to open scripture with me this morning. And we'll be reading a passage of scripture from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10. We'll read the verses 14 to 22. Corinthians 10, starting at verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So far, the reading of God's word, and our focus this morning is going to be on the verses 16, 17, in particular verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare our hearts for the celebration of the Lord's Supper this morning, I would like us to think about fellowship. It's the main theme of this passage of Scripture that we read together. It's a word, participation, that comes out twice in verse 16, difficult Greek word to translate, participation or communion or fellowship. I'd like us to meditate as we prepare our hearts for sitting at the table of the Lord, that when we come to the Lord's Supper, what we're celebrating is fellowship with Jesus. When we come to the table of the Lord, Jesus is our host. And now the Roman Catholic Church calls the wafer that they eat the host. It actually comes from a Latin word for sacrifice. Jesus is the one who sacrificed. But when we come to Lord's Supper, our host, he's not on the table, he's sitting at the table. I'd like us to realize that this morning, that Jesus, he is our host. He's sitting there at the head of the table. And the Lord's Supper table, when we sit down together, is his table. We sit down and we have fellowship with him. And so that's going to be our theme. At the Lord's Supper table, we enjoy fellowship with Christ. Or as Paul says, we participate or we have fellowship in the body of Christ. And we have fellowship in the blood of Christ. Now, Paul, he speaks these words to the Corinthians in a particular context. In the church at Corinth, there was a problem that they were having. There was a division in the congregation. Because there were people who were eating meals in pagan temples. Now, we have to put ourselves in Paul's situation in Corinth here. In Corinth, if you wanted to take your wife out for a meal, or you wanted to celebrate an anniversary with your family, you wouldn't go to Earl's, you wouldn't go to Tim Hortons or whatever restaurant you choose to go to. Instead, you'd actually go to a temple, a pagan temple. These temples, that was where sacrifices were made, so there was a lot of meat there. And some of the meat they'd send off to the market, to the butchers. But they'd also have fellowship rooms, little dining halls where you could eat a meal at a temple. A little bit like what we have here at the front of church. You have all of the tables set out here. In an ancient temple, you'd have your main sanctuary. And then off to the side, there'd be lots of little dining rooms where you could eat. And you could go into those rooms and you would eat in the presence of the god. So you'd go to Apollo and to the temple of Apollo, and you could have a meal there with Apollo. Now, when it was someone's anniversary in the Christian church in Corinth, there was a question: can we go and celebrate at the temple of Apollo or not? These Corinthian Christians who had once been pagans, they now knew their scriptures. They knew Psalm 115 and what it says in Psalm 115. And speaking about idols, mouths they have but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. And so there were some in the church who were saying, yes, we can dine in these temples, because Apollo, these idols, they're actually nothing. They're nothing at all. In this passage of Scripture, Paul, he warns the Corinthians that, yes, these idols may be nothing, that may be true, but, he says, verse 20, I do not want you to be participants with demons, because what the pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons. So it's in this context that Paul is telling the Corinthian church that when you're in a pagan temple, and you're having a meal there, you're actually having a meal with demons. But in this passage, he brings out the counterpoint of that. This beautiful reality that when you are in the Lord's house, and you eat the supper of the Lord, and you're sitting at the table of the Lord, then you are having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 21, that participating in the Lord's Supper is partaking at the table of the Lord. It is Jesus' table. When we sit down at the Lord's Supper in a minute, we are sitting down with Jesus. And it's not like Jesus comes down from heaven and takes a seat at the table, but instead, as we confess when we read through the Lord's Supper form in a moment, it's our hearts that are lifted up to heaven where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. It's this glorious reality that takes place. Our hearts, our inner beings, our souls, we're lifted up to Christ and we sit with Him. Like us when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, to think of that when we come to that exhortation, or what they call in Latin the sursum corda. This is one of the first times that I'm actually officiating Lord's Supper, and I'm in Langley, so I have a co-pastor, Pastor Doug, and we were running through the Lord's Supper form a few months ago together just to make sure I could nail it. And he was reminding me, you know, we sing hymn 59 before we get to the sursum corda. And I was like, Pastor Doug, what's the sursum corda? He's like to me, what, don't they teach you anything in seminary anymore? And he taught me what the sursum corda is, so I'll teach you as well, because I want you to pay attention to that this morning. The sursum corda is that section of the Lord's Supper form which is titled the exhortation. And sursum corda is literally Latin for lifting up our hearts. And in that section of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper form, we confess together. And we're exhorted not to cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but to lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ, our advocate, is at the right hand of His heavenly Father. So in the Lord's Supper, we lift our hearts to where Jesus is. We sit at the table with Jesus. We have fellowship with him. When we're lifted upwards at the table with our living Savior, and we sit there with Jesus, we look backwards and we look forwards. We look backwards and we remember. We remember everything that he's done for us. We remember how Jesus, he looked down from heaven at us in our sin, in our misery, and how he decided that he would take that upon himself. He looked down at us in love. He didn't only look down, he came down. He took on human nature. Holy God lived among sinful people. He took our sin on himself. And he died on the cross. We look back and we remember that great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And at the same time, we also look forward. Don't just look back, we look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, to the time when we can sit with Jesus at the table and enjoy a feast with him in heaven, a feast with him in pure joy, not in the sufferings, in the difficulties, in the trials of life, but we can feast with him in eternal blessedness. That's what we look forward to. And I want us to also realize that this morning in the consistory room, I was told this is the first time you're celebrating Lord's Supper in quite a few months. It's been almost a year, if I'm not mistaken, since you were able to sit down together at the Lord's Supper table. And so this is a beautiful moment. This is something that you've been waiting for so long. Finally, we can be back here. Finally, we can celebrate the Lord's Supper together again. But I want us to all realize that when we sit down together at the Lord's table, this isn't what we've been hanging out for. This isn't what we've been waiting for. What we're actually hanging out for, what we're actually waiting for, is when we can eat this supper in heaven with Jesus and feast with him in glory. And so while we're so thankful, while we're so filled with joy that we can be here this morning, we also look forward to that marriage feast of the Lamb. So the point that I want to bring across this morning is that when we celebrate Lord's Supper, we're celebrating with Jesus. We're having fellowship with Jesus. We're not sitting at the table alone. When you sit at the Lord's Supper table, you're not sitting there with your thoughts. You're not looking inside yourself and wondering if you truly believe. You're not worrying over your sin. You're not doubting whether you should actually be taking a seat here or not. That introspection, that self-examination, it actually comes before we sit at the table. As we read through the Lord's Supper form together, we look deep within ourselves when we receive the invitation. And then having done that, we sit at the table with Jesus. When we're sitting there at the table with Jesus, it's as though Jesus, he reaches down and he gives us a sign of just how much he loves us. And the sign that Jesus gives, it's not a ring with a diamond on it. The sign that Jesus gives, it's not a pearl necklace. The sign that Jesus sits and holds out to us is bread and wine. Signs of his body and blood. Signs that show just how much he loves us. He reaches out and he gives us these signs and he says, Now be sure of this. This is how much I love you. I love you enough to give my body for you. I love you enough to shed my blood for you. I love you enough to sacrifice my life for you so that you can have life. This is how much I love you. He gives us a sign. I realize now that it's engagement season. There's quite a few people getting engaged. I'm not sure if anyone in this congregation has recently been engaged. But when you're engaged, the guy typically gives the girl a sign, a ring with a diamond on the ring. And that diamond is a sign that the love that they share is a love that's unbreakable, a love that is forever. And when we sit with Jesus at the supper, he gives us this sign of his love. I love you with a love that's everlasting, with a love that's eternal, with a love that has brought me to the cross to shed this body and blood for you. And the beautiful reality at Lord's Supper is that when we reach out and take hold of that bread and we take hold of that wine, we're not just reaching out and taking hold of signs. But in fact, Jesus works within us what those signs symbolize. This comes out in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Those words Paul speaks there, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sign of the blood of Christ? Jesus isn't just holding out a sign of his blood, but rather what he holds out to us is participation in his blood. And it's the same with the bread. It's a participation in his body. When we take the bread and we take the wine, we are participating in Christ's sacrifice for us. His sacrifice where his body was shed and his blood was poured out, where he gave his life so that we can have life. And so when we sit at the Lord's Supper table, Jesus is pouring his life into us. He's strengthening our faith. He's comforting us. He's nourishing us. He's refreshing us. He's renewing us. He's deepening that bond that we have with him so that his life flows into us. And that's the beautiful reality of the Lord's Supper table. Fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus, where he sits with us. And he strengthens us, and he renews us, and he fills us with his life. It's a table where we can sit and we can enjoy our fellowship with Jesus. But it's not like we get up from the table and once we've stood up and we've left the Lord's Supper table, we've got to get on with our week and get back into the difficulties of life, get back into the trials, get back into the anxieties and somehow get through till next time. But instead, what our Lord Jesus Christ does is, at his table, he nourishes us, he strengthens us, and he gives us the energy for the fight in the week to come, in the months to come. So let us all come and take of the body of the Lord, take of the blood of the Lord, have fellowship with Jesus, be strengthened and be renewed by him. Amen.